Dropping things. Okay. Well, it's good to be back with you again. We are going to have a longer presentation this morning, just giving you a little more detail, but we'll do another presentation for church, a shorter one. But I will be mentioning the Ukraine, and I know that I've already talked to at least one person this morning who's asked about it, because we are really close. But before we get there, I want to tell a story. And I'm not going to tell this story to make anybody feel guilty or convicted. But I'm going to read a text of Scripture, and then I want to tell a story about a man named Francesco. From John chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, and we see this. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This text of Scripture is a fascinating text. The Lord really has had me on a journey over the last couple of weeks on studying through in more detail the being born again. What it means to be born again. And as I was preparing for this morning, I was thinking to myself, we have a wonderful example of the new birth in a man that has become a friend of mine, and his name is Francesco. Francesco is an airline pilot. His wife is from Indonesia. He is from Italy, and they have a little daughter named Annalisa. Annalisa speaks two languages, Italian and Indonesian, but she's trying to learn English and Romanian at the same time, so you can imagine, I think she's 3 years old, little three-year-old mind. But they're a fascinating family, and they're fascinating because she was raised Lutheran and she was baptized as an infant. He was raised Catholic, and his family still lives in Italy. Now, keep in mind, when a pilot is assigned to a station, other stations can open up, and he flies all over Europe, and so he can really go anywhere in Europe and be assigned anywhere in Europe to be based out of. When they showed up at our church, both of them are nice people, friendly people. I had no idea what their background was. They said they were Christian, and they came, and they were with us in church. They partook of the Lord's Supper with us. They said they were believers, and that they'd gone to an evangelical church in Poland before they coming to us. In the course of getting to know them, I discovered their background. Now, as a pastor, we always seem to have to deal with these little conundrums. You have somebody who comes into your church who is baptized as an infant. You are convicted by Scripture of believer's baptism as a prerequisite for the Lord's Supper. What do you do? That was a struggle for me, because I wanted them there to sit under the Word of God and to hear the gospel. And I figured, you know what, if I confront them, it's possible that they're just going to pack up and leave. The lucky thing was, there was not another English-speaking church in town. So Monique and I had lunch with the family, and I took them to the Scriptures on baptism and the Lord's Supper. And at the end of that Bible study, I said, "I'm asking you to not partake of the Lord's Supper. I'm asking you to study the Scriptures and to pray and let some time go by to see if you may not understand what I'm trying to communicate, what the scripture is trying to communicate. Well, they were honorable people. They didn't take of the Lord's Supper. One time we were going through the churches of Revelation and just doing a quick study through the churches of Revelation, and Francesco came up to me and he says, "I know why God's brought us here. He's brought us here so that we can learn." And of course that brought joy to my heart. But his wife got increasingly cold. She was not happy. Francesco would come up to me sometimes after we had done the Lord's Supper, and he would actually have tears in his eyes, and he would say, "You don't know what you're doing to me by not allowing me to take of the Lord's Supper." And I said, "I understand." And the temptation was to say, "Yes, I'm sorry I even brought this up in the first place. Yes, you can partake of the Lord's Supper." But praise God, I didn't. And the man that I co-pastor with, he was supportive of my decision. Well, time went by, and suddenly they were gone. One Sunday, two Sundays, three Sundays, and I thought, well, they finally done it. They've left. And I was out one sunny day, and I was out doing some ministry stuff, and come walking through an area where there's a lot of outside cafes, and there they were sitting at a table, and suddenly Francesco jumped up and said, "Pastor Ken," and he comes walking over to me and gave me a hug, and we're talking. And then he leaned over to me as I was getting ready to leave, and he said, "By the way, when does the church do baptisms?" You could have knocked me over. When we finally did his baptism last November, and you're going to see a picture of it when we go through our slides. When we finally did his baptism, now before he had never been able to give a clear explanation of the gospel and its effect on his life, I have never heard a clearer explanation of the gospel than that came from his lips that evening. God had done something. The Word of God had washed over him and had cleansed him, and the Spirit of God had come into his life, and he was changed. Isn't that amazing? Amen. You see, that's what the Spirit does. What does our passage say? The wind blows where it wishes, and you do not hear its sound, you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from and where it goes. We can never judge who's going to respond. We can never judge where the Spirit is working. Yet we do sometimes. Sometimes as parents, and I can speak of this from my own perspective, sometimes as parents, we want our children to come to Christ so bad that we try to be their Holy Spirit. We try to make sure that we're teaching, and we put all the responsibility for their coming to Christ on ourselves. But you know where the battle needs to be fought? First, it needs to be fought on our knees. Because if God's not working, all the words in the world are not going to change a person's heart. I can make them a hypocrite. I can make them walk an aisle, say a prayer, get their head wet. I can convince them to do that just to please me. But if the Spirit of God's not working, that's all it is. The fascinating thing about this text, and the fascinating thing about what we've gone through in the last couple of years, is that we have seen God work in ways that you can never imagine. Like in a Muslim girl who had dreams, and all she saw was a man in a white robe come up behind her and put his hand on her shoulder and say, "I'm the truth." And Then her father called her on the phone and said, would you like to go to medical school? She was in Spain at the time. He said, yeah. Or she said, yeah. She never told her father she wanted to go to medical school. She'd been searching all over Spain to try and find a church, but all the churches that she found had icons in them and were Catholic churches. And so she prayed. She said, Jesus, if you're real, show me a church where there are no icons that can teach me the Bible. And she showed up at our front door. Isn't God amazing? We limit him. She's now been baptized. Her name is Noor. We limit him. So this morning, I'm not sure if our slides are ready or not. They are ready. Okay, I'm going to take your word for it. So, if you've heard us before, you know that we script our slide presentation. Otherwise, I'll be up here telling stories all day and we'll never get done. And so, I want to share with you what God has placed on our heart. And thinking back over the past several years, I'm reminded just how far the Lord has brought us in ministry. There was a time when missions was only a desire, an idea, but today we have been allowed to serve the Lord Christ on the field in Romania for nearly 20 years. Can you believe it? We have seen a lot of changes in us, and we've seen a lot of changes in the country. Our return this time was partly motivated by these guys. Now, these are Rebecca's children, Lily and Zane, Nathaniel, and the newest member, Raina. She was born February 5th. And this is Alyssa's little girl, or I should say girls, Piper, and her new sister, Findlay, that was born on April 1st. April 1st. For those who don't know, Romania is in Eastern Europe. We live in the northeast of the country near the border with the Republic of Moldova, in a city named Iași. I think you can see it there, kind of tucked up on the slide. It has some of the most beautiful scenery in the world, and outside the cities, life has not changed much. Every morning, the cows are driven out into the fields, and every evening, they return to their own homes without even a guide. Many still harvest the fields by hand. Oh. She just touched the button. Okay. All right. Technology wouldn't be technology if it didn't have a glitch once in a while. You use Proclaim, is that what you're using?
Yes.
Yeah? We may have a conflict going on. There we go, our cows. Many still harvest the fields by hand. Oh, what just happened? I'll skip the cows. You just need to come visit. We'll let you experience cows. I couldn't tell one cow from another. It's not my steak. Okay, I can tell steak. Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, it's all right. Okay, haystacks. Are you ready? All right. So many still harvest their fields by hand. When we have a chance to escape the city, we really enjoy the granite mountains near the Red Lake. As the West continues to influence Romania, many are trying to keep their traditions alive by teaching them to their younger generation. History is all around us, with castles and monasteries scattered throughout the country. And food, especially papanoche, is worth the trip just to sample. We'll save some for you. Walking down the street can be a challenge at times in Romania. It's still recovering from years of poverty following the fall of communism in 1989. Change takes time. English is more common today than when we first arrived, but still is a bit tricky for some. We would translate this sign, exit to the city. That's not what they have. And even the tech industry has a flair for dramatic at times. So, English is more common. Let's see. The state religion is Romanian Orthodoxy. These churches are very ornate, decorated with icons and pictures. More than 70% of the people consider themselves Orthodox, with officially less than 7% evangelical throughout the country. In our city, however, less than one half of 1% are evangelical. We left Hunedoara and moved to Iași in 2015. It is the second largest city in Romania, second only to the capital of Bucharest. Its main attraction is the many universities that attract students from all over the world. Over 400,000 people live here, and many foreign companies have come into the company to start businesses. Iași is also a historical and cultural center that attracts visitors. Its medical school and many other universities teach in Romanian, French, and English. Early in 2016, I was asked to co-pastor Ecclesia International Church in Iași alongside Pastor Paul Snyder, who's on the left. Our little church is there to meet the needs of the English-speaking population. At one time, our congregation were mostly single students, but today God has begun to bring us families. We love our little congregation that is constantly changing as every year brings new students and then others graduate. It's a wonder to see our young people stepping up to serve the body. We're grateful to God for what He's doing and how He's using us. We are not only watching people come to faith, but learn to love the Word of God also. Whether it's a college student from Morocco, an airline pilot from Italy, God is working. Our pilot Francesco told me once, I know why God has brought us to Iași, to teach us. Doesn't like that one either. That's all right. I just think we need to forget the videos for the other one too. Yeah. Although the last time we did this presentation before our sending church, I don't remember having any problem. And they use Proclaim as well, so I don't know. Okay. Okay, that's better. With families, we now have children. So Monika began and continues to coordinate our kids program and trains others. Having children is something new, and it's become a real blessing. We use holidays like an American Thanksgiving to attract unbelievers to spend time with us. This past Thanksgiving, we encouraged our young people to invite their unbelieving friends. Monika did a lot of the cooking. Her sewing skills also come in handy, especially for Christmas plays. She spends a lot of time passing her creativity on to others. We learned a long time ago that food is an international language and that draws people together. Even around the holidays, internationals miss family too. And so we open our door to meet their needs for friendship, doors that often lead to spiritual conversations. I know it seems like food is an important element, but it's not about the food. It's about spending time together. It's about making opportunities to share the Word of God in prayer. Every year during exam time, we reach out to the international students with food packets. It's another way that we can express the love of Christ to our young people and their friends. Every year, we also celebrate with our graduating students. 2 years ago, because of COVID, we even had to hold our own graduation ceremony for our students because they were prevented from graduating. And of course, Monica also makes the cakes for these events as well. After graduation, most of our young people leave us and do their medical residencies elsewhere. Occasionally, some stay in Yosh, like my Chinese-Malaysian friend, William, who is a fourth-year surgical resident and a member of our church. And by the way, he just got married 3 weeks ago. One way that we reach out to students is to provide a safe place for them to have fun as an alternative to the clubs. We call it Friday Fun Night. We provide food, games, and encourage our young people to find opportunities to share the gospel during the event. We also offer our home to our young people to use when they need a place to meet for social activities, whether it's Bible studies, dinners, or even movie nights. Our home stays pretty busy. This past year, I began a study called Bible Intensive with some of our young people to help them develop their observation skills of Scripture. Our first study took a weekend to complete the entire book of Acts, looking for clues to describe the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. They then had to take what they learned and transfer it to a simple diagram so they could explain it to somebody else. Monika kept them energized with food and snacks, while I kept them motivated and encouraged to keep going. The second study was the book of John, where we learned about the person and the work of Christ. More than one person commented that they had seen things in the text that they had never seen before. Even though they joked that their brains were ready to explode, many have asked to do it again. Outside of the International Church, we work with a Romanian Baptist church in the city. This provides other opportunities to preach and teach and help shoulder the ministry burden with a local Romanian pastor. We also started a men's ministry in the Baptist church to try and motivate the men to be more involved in leadership in their families and the church. Monika has also partnered with a Romanian woman to reach out with the gospel to mothers of disabled children in Iași. Now, once a month, they also travel to the capital of the Republic of Moldova to bring the gospel and encouragement to a group of mothers there also. This ministry has been a challenge as she teaches only in Romanian. But I hear her joy of serving these ladies in the stories she tells about God changing hearts. We also use our building skills to help churches. This last year in the International Church, we created a study space for students. We also use this space for outreach opportunities like Bible studies and Romanian and English language classes. While planning this remodel, students and other church members asked if they could help so they could learn some practical skills. It's a small space, but we have tried to make it a blessing for those who want to use it. Besides, it's been a lot of fun to teach life skills to people who want to learn. Whether it's turning a desk into a kitchen cart, or teaching how to repair and paint walls and install electrical outlets. This past year, we also served the Romanian Baptist Church by destroying their old sidewalks and replacing them, creating handicapped access to the first and second floors. As always, Monika was there to help me. The Romanian brothers call her the engineer, as she is very detail-oriented, wanting to see everything that we do done to the glory of God. We also wanted to bless the Romania Baptist Church by repairing their fellowship hall. It took us a week of removing tape, repairing cracks, and crumbling plaster in preparation for a group of young people from California. With their youthful energy, we were able to paint the room twice in a single day. And none of these young people are considering missions as a career. They just wanted to come and encourage us. So whatever project we had going, they wanted to be a part of it. In the end, the transformation was amazing, and to this day, the church has people asking to use the space. Once the team left, however, Monika and I got busy with final touches, including a protective railing for the stairway, and we'd love to bless them now with new carpet, because they definitely need it. We're trusting the Lord will continue to supply the funds that we need, so we can continue to help them repair and update their building. Speaking of repairs, this past rainy season proved that the roof of the Baptist Church needed replaced. We had water pouring in. We're thankful to everyone who helped supply the funds to buy the materials to hire a team to replace it, and Monique and I are more thankful that we didn't have to do the work. Monique is often called upon even to cook for our weekly gatherings, and the young people come sometimes and help her so they can learn how to cook and improve their cooking skills too. For us, missions is not about preaching, not just about preaching the gospel, but about creating relationships. We realize that if we want to have a deeper impact on our young people, we can't just do church, but we must live life with them. We need to let them into ours as well. We try to become a part of their lives and allow them to become a part of ours. I think Monique and I can honestly say that working with these international students has been a blessing. Sometimes we feel like mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, at other times pastor, teacher, but most of all we feel like friends. So, Ukraine. There we go. Things actually heated up in Ukraine after we had returned to the U.S. at the end of January. They hadn't begun, but they began after a few days after we had returned. The country of Ukraine is about 1.5 to 2 hours north of us, and the possibility of war had been a rumor, but after we had left, of course, it became a reality. One of the members of the International Church, a Romanian himself, wrote of his disappointment in the local government, in the Romanian government, over their slowness to respond to the citizens fleeing the conflict. But he expressed his pride in the Romanian people, who set up shelters, provided rides from the border for refugees crossing into Romania, and even set up websites to direct refugees to food, shelter, and other assistance. The International Church had been helping international students who had fled Ukraine to get back to their homes, or for those that wanted to stay, to help them get resettled in Iași and re-registered for school. What was encouraging to me was the actions also taken by the Baptist Church to assist the refugees. When all this began, they opened their doors to house and feed the refugees. They also partnered with other Baptist churches to renovate a bathroom to provide a shower, a washing machine, and a kitchen to feed them. They now house 16 refugees every night and have been since mid-February. There's a cost to their compassion, however. Pastor Ciprian told me a few weeks ago that their bill for natural gas in February alone exceeded $1,500. Now, that doesn't include electricity and everything else. That's just natural gas. When I asked how we could help, he said the greatest need right now was financial resources. And by the way, those fleeing the conflict are no longer just Ukrainians. We're getting reports that recent bombings in Transnistria, which is the furthest region of Republic of Moldova, are causing many in Moldova to flee to the Romanian border to try and cross. They're seeking asylum in Romania. Lots going on. Since all this started, we've been asked if we're going back. People naturally assume that perhaps we're not going. Right now, our plan is to step on an airplane on the 26th of July in Phoenix and to head back. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the future. It just seems the gospel has the greatest audience when people are afraid. But thank you for your support and encouragement. As mentioned earlier, in September 2023, it will be 20 years for us on the field. It's gone by quickly, and you guys have been a part of it for quite a while. Thank you, and may the Lord bless God's people as you seek to make and mature disciples here and around the world. I will take questions, if anybody has any questions. I know we have just a few minutes, so. Yes.
What
the main barrier is that their faith is in orthodoxy. Okay, they see that being Romanian is being orthodox. And so for them to deny orthodoxy is tantamount to deny their culture and heritage. And so it's, I even have a friend of mine who was on the street the other day and met a, he met a priest, and they sat down for coffee and talked. And they had a wonderful conversation about theology. But, you know, it's like blinders. You know, you have your brand, we have our brand. And people are so focused that we're trying to make them Baptist or make them something other than Orthodox that they're afraid to listen. So. Yeah.
Is Romania experiencing the same or similar degree of just wickedness and pollution of all the things that Satan is doing, from everything from pornography to moving into the schools and polluting minds, and all of the filth and junk that is coming out of the United States?
No, I mean, we're seeing it there. I think there's some of it is remaining somewhat subdued because the one good thing about the Orthodox Church is it has a huge control over the state. And so even though to join the European Union, they had to agree to abide by its laws, when it came to things like making homosexuality legal and, you know, all these other things, it was voted legal in the dead of night on a weekend, so that, you know, it took time for the word to get out. And then the Orthodox Church was up in arms. And so that, you've seen, it's interesting how you've seen evangelical churches and Orthodox believers, you know, out there together protesting over these things.
First went to Romania, there were billboards of naked women advertising like a heating system or, you know, a pair of shoes. So pornography has always been very, I don't know, it's there, in your face, all the time. The magazines aren't like with a cover on it hidden in the back, they're right up front when you go to buy them so all your kids can see them. They are struggling with the exact same problems that we are. All of, you know, our kids, well, we grew up with the telephone in the house and went to the cell phone. They went straight to the cell phone. And so all their kids are on the cell phones all the time with the internet and have access to anything they want. And the school, Romanian schools used to be known for very, very good education, but now most parents are trying to find that, want their kids to have a good education, are trying to find a public